I am not suggesting that grieving a dying world as a Christian is all that different to the grief of someone who does not believe our destruction will be redeemed. We share common griefs, even though our experiences are shaped by the particular places to which we belong. Grief is, for all of us, a means of survival, a healthy way to deal with immense suffering. It prevents us from becoming bitter or closed off or indifferent. Grief, especially when shared with others, can make us more generous, tender people. And I think we grieve in order to be honest about how things are and how we are. So much of the death around us springs from gainful dishonesty. Dishonesty about the sanctity of each creature, dishonesty about the likely consequences of our actions, and covering up those consequences when they happen. If we cannot bring ourselves to be truthful about our broken histories or the current trauma we face and perpetuate, we cannot begin to heal. Survival, compassion, honesty, these are all good reasons to grieve. But the conviction that Christ's resurrection marked the death of death also contains the hope that our works of love in the present are not consigned to destruction. They participate in a transformed future. As this book took shape, I became increasingly convinced that grief is not only a response to losing something loved or a motivator for behaving in loving ways, but a work of love itself. I found myself wanting to put words to something that feels so mysterious as to be unspeakable, that our grief over a dying world is more than compassion or repentance. It is also a work that transforms us and the world around us. As love, our grief is shaped but not constrained by the places and time we are given. It is able to stretch beyond our own worlds, our own self-help mantras, our own comforts, even into the ages of ages. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge will all come to an end, but love never ends. It is not that our expressions of love are full or healed. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But nevertheless, our grief, like the world it loves, is not wasted. Reading these stories of grief and courage, of love, has been a dark glass through which I anticipate the one and the world I long to see face to face. It is humbling to begin with those things that are lost and broken as my blurred window for truth about the world. But if the body of Christ is a place where I can learn to look through the glass, then that is what I am trying to do, knowing I do not look alone. The world is not indifferent to pain, and nor is the one who made it, and who will make it whole. These pages gather our shared longing to describe this grief, reveal the love that burns at its heart, and offer the courage to pursue it. I do not intend to sanctify trauma or treat suffering as necessary for love, but we are currently unable to love the world without being willing to expose ourselves to the pain of its death. And grief contains power. If we do not learn how to grieve as a work of love, we will continue to hurt one another. I have coexisted for a long time with the kind of crushing sadness which compels me to worship at the altar of my own despair, feeding hungrily on tears for their own sake, offering up sorrow which does not love life so much as it loves its own abyss. I know the consequences of grieving badly, and I know that I am still trying to learn to grieve well. Becoming open to the grief of others, rather than imagining I grieve alone, turns me out of myself. It is teaching me to practice the kind of grief which sings that the world is both dying and being made, and made over again by love. Thank you for reading with me. The world that love makes is a world without end. Look through the glass darkly, and be assured that our grief will not be wasted.